And good afternoon, everybody. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are taking down the tyranny of our time. Today, the New World Order government issuing a code now to track your COVID vaccine shot, poison death shot, whatever you want to call it. Yep, the status. Did you take it or not? Roger Stone is going to be joining us on the not-so-secret plan of Governor DeSantis and his, of course, charge for the White House in 2024. Children's Health Defense Florida has had a win for the people in the state of Florida. Hopefully Maureen Van Heck will be here to representing CHD Florida to enlighten us on all of that. The U.S. government, of course, still doing a major cover-up using the Department of Injustice, still in progress. But MAGA does get a win, and that's right, in the House Oversight Committee. What does that actually mean? And last on the show today, Connie Davis coming back to give us an update on more injustice. And of course, the FBI getting off what it would seem to be scot-free. We'll be right back after these brief messages right here live on Brighteon TV.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of Sleep Formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
All righty, everybody. Today's News Between the Lines, is brought to you by our good friends over at Z-Labs, Dr. Zelenko's ZStackLife.com. Use your promo code Foundation to stay healthy. That's right, the flu season's back, and I know several people who've come down with it, but you get on your Z-Stack with quercetin, zinc, vitamin D, and you are good to go. Also, get a good night's sleep using your promo code Foundation over at MyPillow.com. Well, folks, here's something very scary. In fact, the New World Order is on the move. They're actually meeting in Davos. Many of the leaders obviously weren't there. Soros, Gates, and others, Schwab, were seen noticeably absent. But Leo Holman, incredible journalist, has this special report that the medical profession is now implementing a WHO digital diagnosis code for the unjabbed. That's right. It looks like doctors are going to be incentivized by the government to actually start asking more questions about whether or not you took the COVID poison death shot. There's been a set of international codes which have been used by the medical industry for billing purposes under Medicare, Medicaid, and the private insurance companies. But folks, it isn't just about billing. That's right. These ICD-10 codes are part of the International Classification of Disease, which is a system that has been set forth by the United Nations World Health Organizations, and they want to know everything, including whether or not you have been jabbed. And according to a 2016 article out in April in the American Journal of Neuroradiology, across the years, it has become an integral part of the payment infrastructure in the U.S. healthcare system, along with the current procedural terminology coding system for medical practices. But ICD-10 actually really grew into an electronic data mining beast with the passage of, wait for it, that's right, Congress's Affordable Care Act. Thank you, Obama. That's right. Hussein has got his fingerprints all over the digitization of our healthcare records being fully upgraded to the ICD-10 level after 2 years of congressional delays. There has literally been a numeric code created for almost any diagnosis you can think of, including some super crazy ones, like ones that involve animal categories. That's right, animal categories. Have you been bitten by a sea lion? Yeah, ICD-10 needs to track that. The government needs to know. Do you have any sort of things going on outside in the water sports category? Or have you had any strange things happen to you up in, the air or space category? These are the most insane things. They need to have such granular detail, level of understanding of your health. And of course, this is now available worldwide. And of course, there is the weird category in the ICD-10. That's just right. You have bizarre personal appearances. You have activities involving arts and handcrafts and problems with relationship in your in-laws, all being tracked by the government. They need to know about all of this stuff. How invasive is that? So thanks to the demons of the medical tyranny, this new code has been rolled out quietly in October of 2022, and it became available to nearly every medical clinic and hospital in January of this year. That code number, by the way, in case you're curious, that is incentivizing doctors to put down whether you've been jabbed or not, is the ICD-10 code Z28.310. Know it well, folks, because I guarantee you they're going to want to mark it down if you walk in and tell them you have not been jabbed. Well, this, of course, is just more about government overreach, and I can think of nobody better to talk to about government overreach than somebody who has been stumping out about this for quite some time and standing up also for President Trump. And this is somebody who's been on the show before, Roger Stone. He's talking about an article he's got published recently in the not-so-secret plan of Ron DeSantis. I want to bring Roger Stone on because, Roger, I appreciate your time today. You just published this article in your Substack talking about the fact that there's been $150 million in PAC funds left over from DeSantis's gubernatorial run, and he's now lining that up along with his rhino friends to take President Trump out in 2024. What is the deep plan here, and where is he gonna find success?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks out there may be confused because Governor DeSantis certainly says all the right things. I mean, recently he called on the Florida State Supreme Court to impanel a grand jury to investigate whether Floridians had been misled regarding the safety or effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccination. But what he doesn't tell you is that he signed a law giving those who promulgated or made this vaccination full and complete legal immunity. So who would the grand jury indict? Perhaps the answer is him, because for 2 years, he championed the vaccination. He empowered the counties to fine businesses and citizens who refused to wear masks. Last week, he appointed, and yesterday it was confirmed, that a man named David Garner, who was a former Palm Beach County commissioner, who ran something called the COVID-19 Compliance Task Force, a Gestapo-oriented uniformed strike force that destroyed businesses, set up a snitch line so that neighbors could inform on each other. So Ron DeSantis talks the talk, but he really doesn't walk the walk. You may have read, for example, that he's blocked the public schools here in Florida from teaching critical race theory. It sounds good. It was great rhetoric before the election, but here in Broward County, the largest school district in the state, the sixth largest school district in the United States, we've just adopted an ADL-approved curriculum that is nothing but pure, unadulterated critical race theory. And this is not the only county where that is the case. If somebody gave you the impression that there are no mask mandates here in Florida, my daughter is an emergency room nurse at a very prominent local hospital fighting for her job because she refuses to be vaccinated. And they refused to let her work without being masked. Wait a minute. Didn't Governor DeSantis outlaw all of that? So Ron DeSantis is not Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis is not a MAGA Republican. Ron DeSantis, as a congressman, would not endorse Donald Trump for president after Donald Trump won the Republican nomination for president. He did rise to Trump's defense in the Russian collusion hoax, which is what brought him to Trump's attention. It was Trump's endorsement that zoomed him ahead of an establishment candidate for governor. And now, in what I consider to be an extraordinary act of disloyalty and treachery, he is planning to challenge the president. If you thought he's a MAGA Republican, Trump without the drama and the chaos, I urge you to look more carefully when it comes to vaccinations, when it comes to masks, when it comes to CRT, when it comes to all of these issues. He's a rhino. He's an establishment Republican, and that's where the money is coming from. Yeah, he's got these huge billionaire donors, but why did Jeb Bush not show up for Ron's first inauguration, but he was front and center in the front row for the next inauguration, the recent inauguration? So Ron DeSantis says one thing, but he does something quite different.
Yeah, the picture is worth a thousand words, Roger. To see Jeb Bush standing behind Ron DeSantis at the recent inauguration was breathtaking, in fact. And it was sending a very clear message where he is aligned right now. And that is something that people who are looking for medical freedom and body sovereignty need to stay very attuned to at this point in time, because there are great people out there that are doing the work to protect the body sovereignty and the medical freedom of this, of the, you know, state residents of the state of Florida right now. In fact, I want to bring on, if possible, our next guest, Maureen Van Hecht. She is with Children's Health Defense Florida, and I'd like her to enumerate this incredible bill that she helped champion along with good folks over at CHD Florida and others to get this bill to the floor. It's State Bill 222, and it is to protect the body sovereignty from medical tyranny. Mo, if you're available, please pop on in right now, because I think it's she doesn't have the Skype in the program yet. Okay, so Mo is standing by, but she's not here yet. So that being said, I want to talk to you about this bill, Roger, because this is something that I find incredibly interesting that they were able to actually champion. It's State Bill 222. And like I said, Maureen Van Hecht with CHD Florida is all about the protection of body sovereignty. And let me just read this bill that actually Joe Gruter's was the general bill sponsor. It talks about the protection of medical freedom, prohibiting the Department of Health from requiring enrollment in the state's immunization registry or otherwise requiring persons to submit to immunization tracking, prohibiting business and governmental entities from requiring individuals to provide proof of vaccination or post-infection recovery from any disease to gain access to, entry upon, or service from such entities, prohibiting employers from refusing employment to or discharging, disciplining, demoting, or otherwise discriminating against an individual solely on the basis of vaccination or immunity status. And of course, this is all revising the purposes of the Florida Civil Rights Act of 1992 to include discrimination protection for vaccination or immunity status. Is this, in your opinion, something that is going to actually make a difference in the state of Florida, or is this something that Ron DeSantis is going to use to cloak behind?
Well, I'm strongly in favor of this legislation. I think it is a great idea. What people don't know is that the current state law that shields those who proselytize or made the COVID-19 vaccination from any prosecution expires this June. Now, Big Pharma has lavished a huge amount of money on Republicans who control our Florida state legislature. So it remains to be seen whether this law will be renewed and Governor DeSantis will sign it, or whether he will veto legislation that would subject some of his biggest donors to prosecution and heavy fines, if not worse. Again, the proof is in the pudding, but people need to understand that not everything you've heard about Florida is entirely accurate. I applaud this legislation. I think it's a great idea. Joe Gruters is a state senator who also wears a second hat as the Republican state party chairman. He's a strong supporter of President Trump, but I suspect he's going to be very aggressively cross-pressured by the governor. For those out there, and there are many, who say, well, why can't Trump and DeSantis just run together? Why couldn't DeSantis run for vice president? The rules of the Electoral College, while they do not prohibit that, they really discourage it, because if the presidential and vice presidential candidate of a given party come from the same state and that ticket carried Florida, we would forfeit Florida's 37 electoral votes under the rules of Electoral College. So it is virtually impossible. It's politically a terrible idea for Trump and DeSantis to run together. And I don't think that is going to happen. At 42 years old, Ron DeSantis got plenty of time to run for president and plenty of time to prove to us that he is not a Bush Republican. Where, for example, is he on the war in Ukraine? I mean, he's taken a lot of money from people doing business in Ukraine. His chief political advisor is very tight with the Zelensky folks. She went over there and actually met with them. So how does he feel about the $100 billion that we have sent, plus we have sent to Ukraine? Or how does he feel about sending them more? As a governor, of course, he hasn't had to opine on issues like the war in Ukraine. I just saw minutes ago, came across the ticker, President Donald Trump now says that if he returns to the White House, he will effect a total ban on the Chinese nationals owning any farmland, ranch land, real estate, bridges, tunnels, toll plazas, harbors, airports. This is a bold move. The Chinese are buying up large swaths of Florida, that I can tell you. But Governor DeSantis, while he has grumbled about it, is yet to actually do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, Roger, these are bold moves, and we are in some very bold times. I appreciate you coming by and giving us this update. I'm going to bring in our next guest here with CHD Florida, Mo Van Heck, who has been the champion behind State Bill 222. Roger Stone, as always, a strong advocate in President Trump's corner. I appreciate your time today.
Great to be with you. And Mo, you've got some great glasses there.
All right. Welcoming now to the Zelenko Report, Mo Van Heck with Children's Health Defense Florida, the champion behind State Bill 222. Mo, looks like we have a victory lap on our hands here, at least for the people who live in the state of Florida. We're not in fear of flying poison death charts, darts, injecting our arms and our medical information based on vaccine status being made public. Give us an update here.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne. I really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. So this morning, we just received the actual bill, so SB 222, which we were speaking up a little bit earlier, sponsored by Senator Joe Bruders here in the Sarasota area, I think in your backyard. And he's done a fabulous job of putting together a comprehensive bill that would create the ultimate protections for Floridians. And essentially, there's a couple of parts to the bill. The first part of the bill is talking about really the vaccine tracking registry. One thing that doesn't get highlighted enough is the fact that we actually have a state tracking registry. It's called Florida Shots. And if anybody's doctor participates in Florida Shots, with the majority of them are required to do so, your data is being uploaded into a government database, specifically the Florida tracking database, of which a lot of people don't know this, that our previous Surgeon General, Scott Rivkees, signed off to hand that potential database over to the federal government. So this is the first start of the inception of the infrastructure that the federal government is doing to create a centralized tracking database system, i.e., and I think you know where I'm going with this, a social credit system where for you to be able to travel, for you to be able to go in and out of restaurants, for you to be able to potentially get groceries, you're going to be in that database. And if you're not in compliance with whatever that database requires of you and or the federal government, you're going to be challenged with being able to walk freely among society. And so that was one of our key goals, to make sure that people understood that our database is not going to be carried up and move forward. We're going to create a nice big wall right there so the federal government can't get it. And I think that's important.
You're absolutely right. This is a massive incursion into our civil rights, essentially our civil liberties. They're really stepping in and trying to be extremely invasive. We reported earlier on the show about the new ICD-10 code, Z28-32310, which of course is coming out of the UNWHO's registries, wanting to know whether or not you've been vaccinated, whether you've received the COVID-19 jab. this is an unbelievable usurpation of our freedom, in fact. And of course, with what we're seeing right now going across the board with the IHR regulations that came forward out of the WHO, the amendments they're proposing, we are looking at, in fact, complete surrender of our rights as God-given citizens here in the United States of America, giving our rights right away to the WHO and to the UN. And so I think starting here local action is important that we have this legislation. I commend you all for State Bill 222 getting out there. And I commend Joe Gruters for being the sponsor to step up and be brave enough to sign this, because we have got to, you know, start locally and grab a hold of what our true God-given freedoms are and defend them. Because you have treaties that Joe Biden is ready to surrender the United States to the United Nations and the WHO, where they can come in and decide what they're going to do with our bodies beyond what we have control over. And we have to stop that train.
Absolutely, 100%. So that was a really good part of this bill that we have established that's embedded within the language. In addition to that, to your point about civil rights, this is absolutely the precipice of where we are in 2023, is that over the last, you know, 36 months, and I'd even go on beyond that, right, with the vaccination program in general, being ostracized, bullied, attacked, you know, loss of jobs. We have people who have shared tragic stories of their insurance company has released them from, or their life insurance policies, they've been released from because of the fact that they refused any particular shot. We have people that are in nursing homes that weren't able to go in to visit their parents in a time of need because they refused to get a shot. We have our medical community, nurses, doctors who were on the front lines, our firefighters, all on the front lines that did the right things during the pandemic, yet because they didn't take a shot, and it doesn't have to be one particular shot. They've been going on about this for quite some time. So this is just an expansion. It's a continued expansion of the trampling of our civil rights. So the second half of the bill, and a very critical part of the bill, is establishing vaccine status as a civil rights protection. And we have a super majority, Ann, right now. That is why time is now for us to pass that legislation into law. It's very critical. And of course, part of that is a campaign that we're actively doing. We're sourcing for people to share their stories with us, called VaxBully.com. Every single one of those stories is going in front of our legislators so they can understand just how pervasive this issue is. And between those two things, we're going to carry this bill right through March, get it through committees, and we're going to get it signed into law this spring.
Well, Mo Van Heck, we're going to continue to follow the story. This is incredibly encouraging. Thank you so much. I know how excited you are and the team that you've assembled to get this done are at this point. And this is a big win for the, you know, folks that live here, the Floridians, that want their rights protected and don't want to be forced into anything. So thank you so much for standing up for all of us. And we look forward to tracking this bill through signing it by the legislature. It's going to be a great celebration.
Thanks, Ann.
All right. Okay, I want to turn our attention to a cardiologist right now out of the UK who actually, sadly enough, lost his father due to the COVID vaccine, or the COVID jab, if you will. And he was very outspoken recently when he was speaking publicly on a BBC interview, which, frankly, the fact that they let this air is quite shocking. Dr. Malhotra lost his father, Dr. Kalees Chand, who actually did die from an unexplained cardiac event suddenly and unexpectedly. There are those words again after taking the COVID vaccines. Dr. Chand was an eminent doctor in the UK. He was considered one of the most prolific advocates for the National Health Service. His son, recently on a BBC broadcast, was speaking out candidly about the cause of the actual passing of his father.
My own research has found, and this is something that is probably a likely contributing factor, is that the COVID mRNA vaccines do carry a cardiovascular risk. And I've actually called for the suspension of this pending an inquiry, because there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment about what's causing the excess deaths. Some of it will be ambulance delays. My own father, it was reported on BBC News in late 2021. I was the first to actually highlight the ambulance delays, because my own father suffered a cardiac arrest at home and the ambulance took 30 minutes. And when his post-mortem came out, he had very severe coronary artery disease, which is unexplainable. I then published in a peer-reviewed journal. They accepted my findings that the likely cause of his death was two doses of the Pfizer mRNA vaccine he had 6 months earlier. So,
pretty explosive when you think about the fact that Dr. Malhotra said that the actual Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna RNA vaccines do pose a cardiovascular risk and are most likely the contributing factor to the excess cardiovascular death that is being observed in the young and in the old. And I think we can all attest to the fact that just about every single day we're hearing of at least one, if not more, cases of died suddenlies. And sadly, they're becoming younger and younger. And our student athletes seem to be right in the crosshairs of what the demons have planned by the deployment of these bioweapons. Okay, we have now coming up here on our commercial break here pretty soon, locked up for 18 years, supposedly over allegedly mishandling money in a Christian school, possible kickbacks, 15 different counts. Arkansas State Representative John Woods was the first rep in Arkansas to actually endorse President Donald Trump. Joining us now to give us a follow-up on this after the break is Connie Davis, who has stepped in and has been lobbying for his defense and accountability of the FBI, who deleted John Woods' exculpatory evidence. Connie Davis after the break.
U.S. attorneys for the government recommended probation, and the judge agreed.
He destroyed evidence as an FBI agent. The law says that he could get up to 20 years in prison and 3 years at home confinement does not satisfy us.
Connie Davies is an advocate for former State Senator John Woods. In 2018, he was convicted on 15 public corruption-related charges and sentenced to 18 years and 4 months in prison.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
And welcome back to the second half. I'm Ann Vandersteel. You know, government corruption is really front and center these days on full display, everything that we know. People coming back online on Twitter. In fact, I got my Twitter account back today. Haven't done much with it yet because I'm still having trouble logging in. But that not being said or withstanding, the government corruption is on full display, the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, and on and on and on. You know, front and center also is the Department of Injustice, and there has been a cover-up in progress. In fact, the DOJ has now decided against having FBI agents monitor a search by Biden's personal lawyers for classified documents. That's right. They actually decided against having their own FBI agents cover the search while Biden's lawyers are going through and looking for more classified documents, which keep turning up in the strangest of places, I might add. His own lawyers don't have to have, by the way, they don't even have their own security clearances, yet they're allowed to rummage around in Biden's basement, Biden's garage, next to his Corvette. God knows where they're going to find him next, perhaps in his bathroom, looking through Joe Biden's boxes of documents in search of top secret materials. So imagine that. They don't want any FBI writing 302s, tracking any of this information that could potentially be used and weaponized against them. The cover-up continues. Well, the cover-up is going to stop here shortly with the new House in progress. That's right. We now have Representatives Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who have been appointed to the House Oversight Committee. Do you think we can get any oversight into the FBI? Perhaps, maybe, could we please? The House Oversight Committee is expected to launch a series of high-profile investigations into Joe Biden and his administration in this new session. These hopefully are going to dominate Congress. It's hopefully going to dominate the news, from the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, allegations of politicization of the Justice Department, to America's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, where we lost 13 members of our own military. No one should attract as much attention as the GOP's planned investigation into business dealings of the president's son, that's right, Hunter Biden, for the past 2 years before the potential Biden reelection bid. We knew about his laptop. We knew about everything that was going on, yet nothing was being done. Of course, we don't expect there to be a resolution while we still have a corrupt Department of Injustice, but we need to highlight this. Again, for me, this is all towards public information, a public outcry, a public demand for answers. And when you can't get answers from your own government, people need to reflect on their own state constitutions. They need to look at our current constitution, where it clearly tells you it's time to alter or abolish and constitute a new of the people, we the people. Well, I want to talk about injustice a little bit more. We're doing a follow-up right now with Connie Davies. Connie actually has been supporting Arkansas State Senator John Woods, who is currently in prison for being convicted of 15 corruption-related charges. He was sentenced to 18 years and 4 months in federal prison. And according to the plea agreement, the FBI agent Cesario admitted that in 2017 of December, he took his computer, which had exculpatory evidence on it to exonerate Woods, and had it all erased. Joining me now to give us a follow-up on where this all stands is Connie Davies. Connie, welcome back to the Zelenko Report.
Thank you so much, Ann. I do appreciate you giving me an opportunity to speak again about this case.
Certainly. Well, this is, again, another example of the big government just basically railroading the little guy, because they don't like what the little guy stands for. At least that's how it appears on this. I need to dive into this a little bit more with you. But first, let's get a status. So Senator, Arkansas State Senator John Woods is currently serving time in a federal prison in Arkansas, 18 years.
No, in Texas. In Texas.
Sorry, excuse me. In
Texas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My bad. In Texas. He's an Arkansas State Senator in Texas in prison. But the FBI agent who clearly had exculpatory evidence, which would have exonerated State Senator Woods, got a wrist slap for deleting all that evidence off his hard drive. How is that possible? This sounds like Hillary Clinton 2.0.
Yeah, we don't understand how that happened either. Back in, like you said, back in August of 17th of 2022, he admitted to destroying evidence that was relevant to the John Woods case. However, in pretrial hearing, he claimed that he destroyed evidence based on medical records that were on that computer that were personal that he did not want disclosed. He obviously lied to the court. And when asked to turn in his computer for forensic examination in pretrial hearings back during the John Woods trial, he destroyed the evidence. He destroyed his computer, never turned in the computer, and lied about it. So you've got a FBI agent that is lying, an FBI agent that is, to me, guilty of contempt because he disobeyed the orders of the court, and then he destroyed relevant evidence in the case. He admits to this in his plea back in August of this past year, and so we were looking forward to what was going to happen to him in the sentencing that came up in January, that was scheduled for January the 5th, just a few weeks ago.
Okay, so his sentencing has resulted in probation, an ankle bracelet?
Yeah, not even ankle bracelet. No, he, for what he did, According to the statute, he could get 20 years in prison. He could get some penalties, financial penalties. When we went there, we knew that he was going to be getting a slap on the wrist because in his sentencing memo that his lawyer sent to the court in December, he asked for 1 year unsupervised probation. Now, this man could get 20 years in prison and he's asking for 1 year unsupervised probation. And his justification for asking for this lenient sentence is that he gives two examples of former FBI agents, Kevin Kleinsmith, who we know that name is pretty common several years ago. He destroyed evidence in the Russia hoax case, and a FBI agent, William Don Tissaby from Missouri, who destroyed some materials on a computer in the in a case having to do with the Missouri governor. So he's using two other FBI agents as his justification to ask for this lenient sentence. We knew that was going to be something to keep an eye on, and we made a trip to Arkansas to be a part of that. We wanted to witness this ourselves, to hold the feet to the fire of the court, the judge. We wrote letters to the judge, reminding him of what happened in the pretrial hearing, that he had admitted to destroying evidence, that his excuses for medical records was a flimsy excuse, that we were expecting the court to do something more than this flimsy sentence. The 15th of December, we received the sentencing memo from the government that agreed with the defense lawyer. However, they wanted to add an additional penalty and say that he needed to be on supervision because they wanted to remind the agent of the severity of his actions. Now, if they want to remind him that what he did was illegal and that it was wrong as an FBI agent to destroy evidence, then they should have given him time in prison. And that's what we were really hoping for, even though we really did not expect that to happen. Nonetheless, we were there. We witnessed it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Family members were there. Two of John's brothers were there to witness this. And it was appalling to see the attitude of this FBI agent, how relaxed he was. He went into that courtroom, I think, not expecting one thing to happen to him. And his statement to the court was so weak, so flimsy. He said, "I've apologized to my family, my friends, my colleagues. What I did was not smart.
What about the
and
family?
I learned from my mistakes. And I learned from my mistakes."
What about the family of John Woods? Has he apologized to them? I mean, this is beyond the pale. You know, when you are a Federal Bureau of Investigations agent, right, you are supposed to be representing the law, not above the law. You are supposed to be, you know, representing what's right, what's wrong, and doing the investigation. And when you are over an investigation and you have evidence that is exculpatory to the person you are investigating and you delete it, and you make sure your entire hard drive is wiped under the flimsy excuse of your medical information, which I think is rich considering the environment in which we're living right now, considering of what we report on this show every single day, Connie, with respect to the overreach of the WHO, the International Health Regulations, the World Health Assembly, our own government implementing this new ICD-10 code, which tracks your COVID vaccine status, and of course pays the doctors for asking the question and marking using the code whether you have been jabbed or not. Another incentive to turn our own medical establishment into brown-shirted Gestapo against the free people here in the United States of America. This is extraordinary that we're witnessing this right now. And this is in my humble opinion. Forgive me for waxing on here, but you know, this is the crazy juxtaposition you've got to look at these things in. Tell me, do you think that the current Congress is going to have any sort of teeth when it comes to limiting the usurpations of your rights by the FBI? Are they going to be able to affect change?
Really, I'm certainly hoping that we can give this little bit of information. You know, we know this is just a small piece of the bigger corruption puzzle that needs to be put together in our country. And Jim Jordan of the Judiciary Committee certainly has a lot on his plate right now, as well as that oversight committee that you mentioned earlier. I think they're going to find that, you know, the corruption is far deeper and far wider than we ever would have imagined. It's very difficult to sit here and look at what's going on in our country when you know that the rule of law is being stomped, you know, trampled on every single day by the very people that should be upholding the law and protecting innocent citizens. It's astounding to me what's going on. And I was appalled at what I witnessed in Arkansas. And I'm hoping that the House Judiciary Committee, headed up by Jim Jordan, if there's anybody I believe in Congress that could possibly tackle this a little, would be someone like Jim Jordan and this Oversight Committee. There's got to be something done. Otherwise, you know, it's not going away. I mean, you're talking about government agencies at its highest levels. One thing, can I share one more thing too that to me was astounding Please. About the government statement? To me, when I read this, I had no words, because in the government statement, the sentencing memo that they sent to the court, by the way, it's only 2 pages long, so it's not like they have a whole lot to say. Sounds to me like they were trying to get this thing, you know, under the radar and out of the way as quickly as possible. The government said this is from the document itself, they have no evidence suggesting that the defendant had any reason for wiping the computer other than his express one, which was to remove his sensitive personal and family information on the computer. They have no evidence. His own admission is the evidence. He said he did it because it was relevant information in the John Woods trial. For them to say there's no evidence, they didn't even look at the plea.
No. Again, this is the courts, your justice system, your judicial system, working in concert with the other agencies of government to be weaponized against the people who are standing up for others who want to return the power to the rightful rulers of this land, which is we the people. Donald Trump said that, quote, end quote, during his inauguration in January of 2017. That is probably the most powerful and toxic sentence to the deep state they could have ever heard anybody utter as the president of the United States when he talks about returning power to we the people. And it's clearly forgotten that we the people are in fact the government, and we have elected people to represent us. But you're now talking about unelected people, unelected judges, unelected FBI agents that work for an agency that was never constitutionally chartered. To have somebody who has been elected by the people, state senator from Arkansas, who is now serving time behind prison because why? I mean, could they actually prove 15 counts of corruption?
Exactly. That's what we can't figure. I mean, again, I think, like I said once before, this seems to be the tactic of the federal government. If they find someone they want to target, they'll find something to build a case on, and they start stacking charges. And until somebody is spending most of their life in prison, for what? And you've got an FBI agent that deliberately, knowingly destroys evidence, could get 20 years in prison, and he gets sent home.
This echoes what happened to General Michael Flynn, does it not?
Exactly.
The fabricated 302 that was written by Strzok when he went in there with Joe Piętka. The original 302 was written by Joe Piętka and then rewritten by Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, the two lovebirds, to make sure they could incriminate Flynn and catch him in some sort of a lie, to which General Flynn never lied. And you couple that with his General Flynn's FARA paperwork from the Flynn Intel Group that was representing company overseas. And that FARA paperwork was also misfiled or not filled out properly by his own attorney, who works for a known D.C. law firm, Covington Burling. Robert Kellner was his former attorney filing that FARA paperwork. Again, working. These are known entities that collude with the FBI. Look, we know that Mark Elias's law firm has Perkins Coie actually has an FBI office in their own building, in their own law firm. So when you talk about collusion, you're talking about collusion at the highest level to make sure that the D.C. power structure is not shaken, is not stirred, and certainly not broken up by we the people. Connie, I'm going to give you a couple more minutes here, but I'd like you to perhaps outline what your next plan of attack is, because it's very obvious to me that you're not going to let this case go, and you are going to continue to fight for John Woods' exoneration and reduction in sentence, if not full dismissal.
Exactly. Well, like I said before, we'd like to get some of this information to the House Judiciary Committee to let them investigate this further, because we don't think that there was just information on that computer relative to John's case. We believe there could be something more incriminating on that computer, could have been, that implicates other crime. Why else would he do what he did if he didn't have something to hide, especially after he was told to turn it in? So we would really like to include some of this information in this investigation that the House Judiciary Committee is doing. In the meantime, we're still educating the public. We've put up a website called defendapatriot.com, and we are cataloging articles that have been written, some of these court filings that have come up. For anyone that wants to dive into this a little bit further, if they want to give us some assistance and advice on what to do at this point, we're really at a point of just really praying about what the next step will be for John personally, because, you know, he has gone through the appellate process. There was word at one time that he might try to appeal to the Supreme Court. I don't know, but we do need some people on the team to help guide us through this this maze of legalities that I'm certainly not a law expert or anything, but anyone that would be interested in this, I do feel that concerned citizens need to be made aware of what's going on and just know that this is not an uncommon occurrence, it seems, that innocent citizens are being targeted by the government. The government in some ways has become our enemy, and we better wake up and we better speak out when we see something like this happen. There's no way that I could sit in this case, this sentencing of this agent, and still keep my mouth shut for what I witnessed myself. I have asked the court to please send me the transcripts of that sentencing because I was there. I did take a lot of notes, but of course a lot was going on and a lot was said. I want to make sure that the truth is preserved of how this was handled, because again, the court certainly protected, the government certainly protected their own in this case. There was no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Connie Davies, standing by Arkansas State Senator John Woods, going to see this through to the end, going to get exoneration for the state senator, and at the very least, we need to hold the FBI, particularly this agent, accountable for the cover-up. And I agree with you. There's probably a lot more under the hood. And the good news is you think you delete things off your computer, but somehow they always have a way of showing up at the most unlikely of times and probably not the best or most advantageous for those who are trying to cover their crime. So I don't think this is going away anytime soon, particularly if you are like a dog with a chew toy. You're not letting it go.
We're not letting it go. Right. And God told me that he's going to shoot an unexpected arrow. So we're waiting for that arrow to be shot.
Amen. Well, that's awesome. Connie Davies, thank you so much for coming by today. Appreciate the update.
Thank you so much.
All right.
God bless you.
Well, the Zelenko Freedom Foundation is, in fact, on a mission. We are on a mission for solutions. So many different problems we're seeing across the globe right now, and this Zelenko Freedom Foundation is nonpartisan. But I can tell you this much. If you want to learn more about some of the solutions that we're working on, we have an event coming up in March 11th of 2023, just a few short months away, down in Miami at the Trump Doral. Join us for the 2023 Solutions Summit and Legacy Dinner, where we are going to be honoring the life and legacy of Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, but we're also going to be challenging the status quo with innovative ideas, critical thinking, and yes, fact-based solutions. We actually have four fantastic panels during the day, and those panels will run from about 9 to 3 with a break for lunch. We have a panel on critical thinking and skepticism. We also have a panel after my heart, the modern American dissident. Oh, yes, you know where that's going to go. And of course, we're going to be talking about parental rights in medicine, because this is a very big hot topic, especially when they're now trying to stab your child 72 times with different vaccines. And of course, the problems that we're seeing today, which is making it difficult to get any sort of resolution. It's breaking up the vanguard of the Uniparty. We have got to break them up. What do we do? We're going to have some incredible speakers on that. And of course, the legacy dinner. It's going to be phenomenal. The event is going to go on till, well, whatever time we decide to shut it down. But the Legacy Dinner has incredible keynote speakers such as Charlie Kirk. We're honoring awardees Catherine Austin Fitz as well as Steve Bannon. So please, folks, come on out, join us. It's going to be a phenomenal evening. Can't say enough about it. And the other thing I want to remind you of is as we're starting to see the economic shakeup happen, I didn't get a chance to talk a lot about the economy today because we had three different guests we had to get to. But please know this. They intend to destroy the system that we're using, the fiat currency. It's the reason they ushered COVID in, because the fiat currency system in the United States dollar has run its course, and they've got to do something about that. So a central bank digital currency is on the move. And don't you know that the key leaders of the World Economic Forum are noticeably absent from their meeting right now in Davos? I wonder what they're up to. So please protect your money with Kirk Elliott, PhD.com. Get into sound constitutional money. Gold and silver have always been the safe harbor, particularly in tumultuous financial times. Kirk Elliott, PhD.com/Ann is who I trust. Go to Kirk Elliott, PhD.com/Ann. They will give you a consultation. No pressure, just some questions. Try to figure out what makes the most sense for you. And anyway, folks, in the meantime, I hope you all have a fantastic Wednesday afternoon. I am out here in Park City, Utah. I'll be on the move and headed out towards Tennessee for the Reawaken America tour. And all the information that we are purveying out there. So please stick with us right here on the Brighteon TV network, as well as all of our other channels in which you can listen to us on Real Talk Radio as well. Appreciate all the support we're getting from all of our broadcast partners. You all have a great afternoon. We'll see you again tomorrow.